Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to episode 76.
76.
Number of the beast.
Yeah, okay. the Eclipso Cigar Review Podcast. I am Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And I am Brian Holdsworth.
Brian Holdsworth.
Still with the Brian Holdsworth. Today we have Brian Holdsworth of House of Emilio and Ezra Zion, and we're smoking an Ezra Zion today.
Yes, a new one.
Ezra Zion Tantrum PA.
PA. As I like to call it, the PA.
It's for passive aggressive. What Chris and Kyle told me was, as you guys know, Tantrum got Half Wheel's Consensus Cigar of the Year. Mm-hmm. So with that one going over huge, they wanted to come out with a cigar that was not just Tantrum Part 2, but a future, you know, kind of like The Empire Strikes Back. You love Star Wars, but what's your favorite? Everybody's favorite's Empire Strikes Back. So when they came up with this blend, Kyle told me that he wanted it to start off with strength, and then all of a sudden it kind of mellows for just a little bit, and then right at the end it comes back with this huge punch. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I love about this cigar is it's not a one-trick pony, because, you know, there's so many new cigars that are coming out that are absolutely awesome one-trick flavor pony cigars that, you know, you start with that flavor, the flavor doesn't change, and there's zero complexity. This one, like I said, it starts off strong. It goes in, kind of lets you have a few minutes. You know, it's like your coffee break in the middle of a cigar. Like, hey, here's a commercial. You're not ready for it. Boom, it comes back and it punches at you. And it's got some really great flavors to it.
But it doesn't kick at your balls.
Yes.
I would say that this cigar, if you were a novice smoker, like, you know, if you had just started smoking, this is a cigar that is made for people, for connoisseurs. This is a cigar smoker's cigar, a cigar snob cigar. And if you weren't ready, then yeah, it'd definitely kick straight at your balls from the chair.
All right.
And the Does it punch you in the face when you're trying to take the tape off?
Right.
That's the thing that I want to know. It's a Corojo wrapper. I have to be cigar deep, Nate.
Okay.
Right now, which I never give the deets. This is the first time ever.
Bring the booze because he brings the booze.
I brought coffee and donuts. That's good enough for me.
I'll go with that.
It's a 6.5 by 44, so it's kind of a box pressed Lonsdale.
Very box.
Or a long Corona. It's a Corojo wrapper, Corojo binder, and a Corojo Criollo filler.
Okay.
So all kinds of Corojo.
Very different than the other Tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a in-name-only Tantrum. Does not.
Well, he gave a long speech about it. So,
I'm just saying.
Well, one of the things, because whenever anybody feedback on the Tantrum is, I absolutely love this cigar on the original Tantrum, but I wish that it would be longer. And so
that's what she said.
What Chris and Kyle told me when they went in to blend this, they wanted to find that cigar that was going to be that extra 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's good because although I still find, you know, yeah, the Tantrum, the original Tantrum is small, but it lasts. You can get 50 minutes out of that cigar easy. I mean, there's no, you know, it's not a quick smoke by any means. And you're getting your balls kicked the whole time while you're smoking it, so that 50 minutes feels like it's a lot longer than 50 minutes. But I have had this. You gave me one the other day, and I'm not going to say what I thought.
I have not had it.
You know,
so, we already have the review because he said also, we're done. Show's over. It's only 3 minutes this day, today.
What?
He already said the whole thing. He said what the cigar is. He said
the
whole review.
So So
we'll see you guys next week.
We're recording this episode with my iPhone, so the battery's only 30
minutes.
Where's our Altidus cutter? Oh, you've got it.
I've got it, yes. So we're going to be cutting with the Altidus cutter provided to us by Eddie Gavito. It's the Monte Cristo scissor cutter. You can hear it.
Okay, so I'm doing deets, it's and then you're doing the Altidus commercial. We're flipping roles today. What is up with that?
That's life, man. Life as you know it.
Got to throw people off. Can't be consistently
consistent. Because I wanted to light it up
consistent.
Faster, basically. I always get the light up last, and I'm tired of that shit.
Cutter?
I already cut it.
Soft flame lighting it today with my Zycar, however you want to say it.
Exacar,
there you go. That's the other one here. Zycar.
I'm using my cheap DeJeep soft flame lighter.
I will be using whatever gets handed to me first.
The Jeep.
Probably. They work every time, 100% of the time.
Yep.
Oh, that was good timing, though. Good work, Zycar.
Oh, the cold draw was just kind of spicy tobacco. It wasn't really anything.
I did not take a cold draw.
I did a cold retro. And I'm telling you, this is the newest thing in cigars right now, is this cold retro hail.
That's Nate. Nate came up with that.
You take a draw on a cold cigar and blow it out your nose.
Blow it out your ass.
Blow it out your ass. Nate swears that it works.
He needed it.
Yeah, Nate swears that it works, and even got his dad convinced that it works. And it's like, don't do that to your dad.
His dad's going to be in a freaking shop one day going, did you guys cold retro hell? That's awesome.
His dad is the...
I don't even need to smoke this cigar.
His dad is the coolest person I know.
You know how much money you save on
it? Right, just cold retro hell on all your cigars. This one's a little musty. I've been was cold retro hell.
Oh, by the way,
and it's green.
In attendance today is our longtime super fan.
Yes.
The great Jeff Hirschauer is here.
Big round of applause.
Good to see you, Jeff. Good seeing you, bud. And was it you or was it someone else on Twitter that said that the cold retro hell was like a wet dream without the wet? Somebody said that. I thought it was you. It might have been someone else.
We'll have him on the show in the second or third segment.
So. Yeah. But all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio. Are you in Cincinnati proper or? Suburb, okay.
Don't be surprised if you don't try to move down here. The one thing that I love about the folks from Ohio is they seem to be everywhere but in Ohio. Everywhere else, man.
Now, when you fly into Cincinnati, you're actually in Kentucky, right? Is it the airport in Kentucky? That's kind of funny. Because I have been at that airport, yeah.
I have a question for you. I was told that they are trying to pass a law right now, statewide law in Ohio, that prohibits attractive women at the age of 18 from leaving the state because all of them seem to leave as soon as they turn 18.
Jeff said that's true, or they do. Okay. Well, anyway, good to have you, Jeff. This is cool having you here, bud.
So far, a lot of spice.
Right? A lot of spice. It's nowhere near, starting off, it's nowhere near as strong as the original tantrum.
I haven't had an original tantrum in a long time.
Nate and I had one Friday.
Right here. No, oh, okay. Bam. That is the original. So comparison contrast there. Bam.
Bam. That should happen.
Yep. It's a lot smaller. That's what she said.
Yep. But definitely powerful. Small,
yeah.
Powerful smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And so far, this has, I'd say, medium strength to it.
Yeah.
But a lot of spice.
I don't know. For a first cigar of the day, it's got a lot of spice. I would say it's a medium plus. But, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is that when it comes to cigars, that overall strength nicotine-wise and overall strength flavor-wise are two completely
different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And this cigar is a very strong cigar on the punch side, while, you know, like if you took like a... Because a lot of people think that a Maduro is going to be the strongest because it's dark.
I don't understand that.
They cook that tobacco, not saying they cook it, but the longer that it's in fermentation, the heat rises, the more nicotine is pulled out of it. Mm. So, I mean, with this cigar, it might have a happy, bakey, delicious, medium plus robust flavor, but it is stronger than a donkey punch.
Yeah, I like to say that it is medium body but full flavor.
Yeah, that's
what I'll say at this point.
And I won't give names, but there are companies that do cook their tobacco.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Yes, there are.
One of the things that I love about Ezra Zion is when you open up a box of Jamais Vus, I've had customers look at me and they go, you know, there's, like in the wrapper, they'll go, they're not all, like, uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I say to that is the same thing, and it's honest. Mm-hmm. I say, if you open up a box of cigars and they're all completely uniform with the absolute complete same sheen to them, it means that these people are dyeing their wrappers. And Chris and Kyle go to the end to make sure that their product is 100% natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's not patooned. There's no special sauce added to it to give it different flavors.
Right.
Chris and Kyle go down to Nicaragua and they hand select. I mean, they get up on top of these. I mean, I've seen the pictures. They get up on top of these palones and they're like, get us that bundle of tobacco right there. We want that one in the back. And then you can see the workers are like, oh, Jesus, we have to, you know, go through this shit to get to that one bundle.
Yeah, they told that story when we had them on. Mm-hmm. God, you know, that was like episode 15. That was how long ago that was. That was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was filling up a box of Tantrum yesterday, and there was like four different colors of Tantrum in that box.
As long as they taste good, that's all that matters.
But they're consistent, you know, as far as taste goes. But you know, there's some that were darker, some were had more of a red look to it, you know.
If you're a novice cigar smoker and you're just wanting your humidor to look like, you know, a Barbie playhouse or, you know, whatnot, you know, that's fine.
You know, because a lot of guys will buy cigars because of cigar bands. You know, like, yeah. Hey, this has got a lion eating an alligator.
It's kind of like the way women bet on horses.
Yeah. Exactly.
They go by the name. That name sounds cool. I'm betting on that horse, you know.
Yeah. But if you're a true cigar smoker, you know, you don't want all that extra. You want a good cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And the more natural, the more that you can tell that a company is putting their absolute heart and soul into it, that's mm-hmm. what you're going to go for.
And I would say, you know, Ezra Zion hasn't been around long enough for me to actually include them in this list that I'm going to make. But, you know, for longtime cigar companies, when you think consistency, Fuente and Padron have to be at the top of the list. Now, I'm not saying you have to like every Fuente or Padron you've ever had, but they're consistent. You could have one or 10, and they're going to be the same cigar. They're that consistent. They're that good at it. Mm-hmm. But from what I've had of Ezra Zion, it looks like they're heading in that direction, and that's a good thing to do.
Chris and Kyle, they have excellent palates.
Mm-hmm.
They're solid guys, and, you know, they have great palates.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to put out a good cigar, I think, and that's why there's a lot of cigar brands out there that start with people who aren't necessarily smokers, you know,
mm-hmm.
or that don't do a lot of that hands-on stuff, and it shows, you know, and those are the people that don't necessarily last, I think. So, yeah.
Kinky Friedman was a big...
Man, I got me.
Yeah. I'm not going to... Yeah.
Smooth.
I retro-held the other day with this cigar. I'm not doing it today. Mm. Like Kinky Friedman, he's a well-known, I mean, yeah, he does smoke cigars, but he's also a cigarette smoker. He wasn't really involved in the process, you know, and guess what happened? He's gone.
Well, I don't have an opinion on that.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of business.
I heard his cigar sucked too, but I never tried
it. The Utopia was fine. It was an okay cigar. They were about $2 more than they were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
$2.
They should have been $6 cigars and they were $8.59.
Where's the $2 Chuck cigar?
What the governor was.
That's all. Yeah. About. We got $2 Chuck.
What did I hear about?
Called the Rothschild by Illusion.
Yeah.
At $4.99.
That's an awesome cigar. Yeah.
I heard something about
Tatuaje has the tattoo.
The tattoo.
I haven't tried that yet.
I like this trend that's coming on right now.
Yeah, I do too.
I have to look it up during the break, but I saw something on Facebook the other day about $2 Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't good. It's bad. Yeah. It's like something in the ingredients or something. Ooh. I have to look it up during the break.
Remember, when they came up with $2 Chuck, they weren't expecting that it would be such a cult classic.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like with cigars. Like certain cigar companies, when they come out with a cigar, if you find one and you really like it, your best bet is to buy a box and just sit on it because their second and third runs are going to be the cheaper, lesser versions because they're more interested in just finding out what's going to stick and then going with that. And when you mass produce like that, you know, there's only a finite amount of tobacco in certain regions mm-hmm. that you can get.
Yeah.
So, like, when it comes to $2 Chuck, because the parallels between wine and tobacco are...
They're very similar.
There's 3 degrees of separation between the whole process.
Yeah.
And, you know, with $2 Chuck, I mean, think about the rage that was. Because I was working at Three Forks when $2 Chuck first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had people coming in going, hey, do you got $2 Chuck? I bet it's like $10 here. And, you know, when you have that many followers, because you got to remember that they're like Costco. They're buying grapes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
To produce at that level and have quality takes time to get to that point. Like with the Fuentes or with the Padrones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they would have came out of the gate with the production that they need now, mm-hmm. they would have never made it and never kept the consistency. But when you have that slow build and you're not trying to put out everything to make everybody happy, you're making yourself happy,
mm-hmm.
that's when your company's going to last 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said.
Very well said.
But, during the break, I'll look it up because I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't good about $2 Chuck.
There's like, you know.
I can't remember. I'll look it up.
They're finding curlies in them?
Something, I don't know. But you can, of course, if people don't know that what $2 Chuck is, it's a wine that you get at Trader Joe.
Trader Joe.
He kept calling it Trader Joe during an episode. I wanted to kick his ass. I'm like, it's Trader Joe's, damn it. Anyway, so far, it's, I would call this a well-balanced flavored cigar as far as it's just got a good consistent medium to full.
Yeah, it's getting
but it's spicy, it's very tobacco-y. The burn's not the best yet, but that, you know, it's a salesman sample, so you never can trust those. But I have a feeling I'm correct. Just joke. I was waiting for some kind of response, and he just sat there.
You know, when it comes to a lot of cigar reps, they keep everything in their car, and, you know, they don't keep it in a cooler. And, you know, you get out on the road, and stuff's going to dry out. I've had buddies of mine that were reps that handed me cigars, and as soon as I put it in my mouth, you could feel the just like old parcel, like the sea salt. It was rolled with the sea scrolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I think I over-humidify, because I'd rather have I'd rather make sure the cigar is 100% humidified than take the chance, because, you know, with retailers, I don't even like the term, with my friends,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would much rather give them a cigar that I would like to smoke myself than, you know, hand them something that's less than what Chris and Kyle had intended for.
And it's easier for them, it's easier for you to just say, look, just sit down on the counter, go do your day, about halfway through the day, come back, smoke it, you're good, mm-hmm. rather than stick it in your humidor for a couple of weeks. You know?
Right. I don't know if I've told this story on mic, but it's a funny story. Todd Vance was one of our favorite guests, one of our favorite reps.
One of my best friends.
And ours too. We love the guy to death. I am shocked he ever came back to this store after his first visit here.
You have told us.
Have I?
Yeah. But you can tell it again.
It's awesome, though. It's awesome. He comes in with this big, freaking honking Zycar travel humidor.
And we're back for the second portion of the... I'm just kidding.
Ten minutes later.
He had filled up the humidifier to where water was, like, dripping all over the cigars. Because Todd did not come from the industry. He came from, like, knee replacement sales or something.
He was a golfer.
I was going to say he was a golfer. That's what he looks like.
And he looks like a senator. Perfect hair.
And Matt's like, get that stuff out of there. And you throw that humidifier away. Put these in bags and blah, blah, blah. And Todd's like, okay. He's, like, shaking. And so... he left. I said, he's never coming back to the store. And he did, and he's been a good salesman. But he learned.
Yeah.
He was the exact opposite of what most of the reps are. They, like you said, just put them in a bag, put them in their car, put them in their trunk. And Todd was like to the exact opposite, oversaturating them.
Yeah, anytime I travel, even just like to Austin to visit my dad, mm-hmm. I have a couple of travel humidors that I use. I put this little small Boba to packs in. I keep them in the car with me so they're at a good temperature. I don't put them in the trunk. That's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I would think that would translate as a rep, you know, to getting a larger cooler, putting some cold packs at the bottom, a couple of Boba to packs.
Yeah, get that blue ice stuff.
Yeah,
put that in the bottom, you know.
What I do is I just keep the cigars in my pocket.
There you go.
There's a nice level of humidity.
Yeah, and you get that.
The balls.
Yeah, you get that. Yeah. That onion crotch smell to the cigar. Yeah,
like, this is the good shit. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Taint delicious. That should be a cigar.
Wow. Taint delicious. We give away too many secrets on this show. I mean, we have too many ideas that we can never patent now because we've exposed them to other
people. Smells like a taint. Smokes like a squeaker.
Wow. All right, so another
okay, yeah. Now we are going to go to the break. Jeez.
So first, third, tasty. I really haven't had a change in
it
flavor.
Hasn't changed at all.
It went from being, I don't know, for me it was like slightly mild at the front, and then it got a little bolder, which is kind of the opposite of what I thought it was going to mm-hmm. be, but I don't know about you guys. You said it was bold at the front, so.
Mine seemed bolder at the front, too, yeah. But I think, like I said, it's our first cigar of the day, and I think we're both just getting now used to smoking today. So.
Well, Randy and I are also both very experienced smokers.
Yes.
Been smoking longer than 7 or 8 months.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're legendary
in
our knowledge. Bingo.
Nailed it.
Sticks. All right, we're back for the second third of the Ezra Zion Tantrum PA.
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 The pa.
It's the pa.
Hey, pa. Tasty cigar.
Yep.
I'm not getting a lot of complexity that I got the first time that I smoked
it. Yeah, it's pretty much the same so far for me. But
I know you gave that big speech about it being complex. It just hasn't done it yet. It's tasty. Jeff, what do you think? Are you getting any complexity out of it? Okay. Okay.
All right. So, got a couple things we do on the show that we need to get done. First thing is the
AJ Fernandez
Sports Fiver with Randy Rankin. So we're going to go ahead and get to that. So now it is time for the AJ Fernandez Sports Fiver with Randy Rankin.
It is good that when we're sponsored for something that we actually do it.
Yeah.
Since they're our sponsor.
Yeah.
Okay, the PGA tournament is going. I'm going to talk golf, but there are a lot of cigar smokers that play golf. Are you a golfer at all? Do you follow golf at all in any way, shape, or form? Okay. Well, the PGA is going on, and for those who, once you hear this, will know who won because the last day of it's today. But at the moment, I don't know who's going to win it. But it looks like it will be Rory McIlroy because he's the new Tiger. And I'm going to talk about Tiger a little bit. Don't you think it's interesting that you can look at someone like Phil Mickelson, who's fat. Not fat, but he's pudgy. You know, he's got a little gut. He's always healthy. Tiger's the most fit person in the entire sport, and yet he's always hurt. Steroids?
Tony Romo.
He's got the steroid whole. I'm not saying he was on steroids, but it's very interesting that his body's going through the breakdown at the right time that all the baseball players that did steroids in their part of their career hit. And it's kind of interesting. Tiger can't stay healthy. He missed the cut for only the fourth time in his professional career in a major. That's impressive.
Yeah.
But he can't stay healthy. He's always hurt. He's, you know, he's all buff.
Is he really that buff?
He's buff. Tiger is a badass as Brandon far as... Noses, yeah. You can't help it. I mean, the dude looks like, he could kick Arnold Schwarzenegger's ass.
At this point, show me the swimsuit calendar one more time.
Everybody even knows me. I'm not even a Tiger fan. That's probably why I'm kind of ripping on him right now. But I just think you'd hate to think that he won all those majors and all those tournaments on steroids. You would hate to think that. But with the way it's going,
that's even possible. Golf is such a thinking game. I mean,
yeah. Well, steroids don't make you dumb.
Yeah, but the extra firepower, if you think about it, golf is a game of pretty much scientific swings and methods that you have to do, and steroids would make absolutely no sense. I mean, if you look at, who was the guy that used to golf under the Smith & Walensky steak banner? Big old heavy set.
John Daly?
He wasn't an in-shape guy, and he totally kicks ass.
Steroids
would make no sense at all in this case.
Yeah, but see, but Tiger... He's always been the longest hitter on the tour. You know, he's always in the top 10, top 20 in length and accuracy, meaning he hitting fairways.
Yeah, I got you.
And I think he just got that mindset. Because you look at Tiger in 97 when he first won the Masters the very first time. He was a skinny little stick. He was tiny. What did you do?
Took the band off over the...
This is a sponsored segment. Can we be serious?
You didn't have to acknowledge it.
I'm just teasing you.
Okay.
Just teasing you, monkey ass.
Just because I'm brown.
That's it. Exactly right. I'm not going to use that word I used off mic. We'll refrain from using that one. No.
Good.
Yeah, it doesn't apply. But anyway, I don't know. So you think Tiger no steroids because you think that would hurt his golf game? You don't think it would help?
He is an exceptionally smart guy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
why, if he's so fit, is he always hurt? Now, the golf argument is that because his swing has so much torque in it that it puts his body at risk of injury because of the style of swing he has.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Phil Mickelson hits the ball almost as far. He's older, and he still plays.
Yeah.
And he plays well.
When you do the same repetitive action over and over and over again. I got a buddy of mine, his name's Steve, and he was damn near a pro bowler. And he actually, when we first met, we went out bowling, and he said, "Do you bowl?" I go, "No." He goes, "All right." He goes, "Any good?" I go, "I'm fair." He goes, "Me too." Whoever lowest score buys beers. And don't ever do that with anybody, because he was bowling like 270s, and I'm buying beer pitcher after pitcher. He just snaked one by me.
Yeah,
but you know, after you
that happens that, to you a lot, right? You get snaked a lot.
You think after you do these same repetitive motions over and over again, it's not like golf. You're switching sides. You're mixing it up. Mm-hmm. Golf is the same exact movements over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And after so many years of bowling, Steve can move because his shoulder is so shot, he can take his shoulder in and out of... it's the sickest thing you've ever... He looks like a contortionist. Mm-hmm. So, like, think about Tiger's whole life. Tiger is a protege. Tiger's dad put him out on the field.
Yeah, he was golfing. Morning. He was on Johnny Carson at the age of four.
So once your body has had enough...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just glad this doesn't happen with masturbation, because I'd be in the hospital. You know what I'm talking about?
I say,
because Tiger's been through a whole lot. Think about the stress of all that crap that happened.
Yeah.
You know, He cheated on his wife. Who cares? You know what I mean? If you'd had a press conference from me, and it was me, and I was Tiger Woods, who got busted cheating on my wife, and then she beat the shit out of me, I'd have walked out, and I'd have been like, hey, my personal life is none of your business.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bang mad hoes till I die. What are you going to do? Keep your waitress from Denny's away from me, because that's apparently what he's into.
I thought it was Waffle House, but Waffle still, nevertheless. Waffle House, really?
Waffle House, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, what is six House? Boobs and four teeth?
What?
The night staff at Waffle House.
Nice.
Anyway, actually, we like Waffle House. Nothing wrong with Waffle House. I don't like it either. Anyway, but it's just interesting when you, because, you know, being a big baseball guy, I saw people like Juan Gonzalez. How his body just fell apart in the mid-30s because of the steroids. Jason Giambi.
They don't test for that stuff
in golf. So no, they don't.
You never know. I mean,
they're going to start because it's becoming an Olympic event now. Yeah. So they are going to start testing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Tiger.
Golf's becoming an Olympic event?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lame.
It was an Olympic event, you know, 100 years ago. And they've.
How about lawn darts?
Lawn darts would be awesome.
Lawn darts.
What about flag football? No, I'm joking. Anyway, that's the thing. I'm just curious. Exactly. It is. I'm just curious. You know, I was just thinking about that over the weekend about Tiger. You know, that there are people that are older. You know, Tom Watson is 65 years old, and he performed better at the PGA this week than Tiger did.
Wow. So
what's going on with Tiger?
Stress your opinion. What do you think? Tiger Woods on steroids?
Steroids or no?
Brandon Holsworth says no. I don't give a shit. And Randy thinks so.
I think possibly. I'm not going to say he did, but It just looks like it's very suspicious looking, you know.
Suspicious minds.
We're caught in a trap.
We are caught in a trap.
Yep.
A week from today will be the anniversary of the King passing, by the way.
Aww. Yeah. That's a horrible anniversary to remember. I don't remember that one. Don't want that memory.
You don't want to?
No. I'd rather his birthday than his passing.
Exactly.
You know I'd like to celebrate the passing of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yes.
I hate those guys.
And I don't want the world to see.
No, you can shut up now. All right, so that ends today's AJ Fernandez Sports Fiber with Randy Rankin and guest star Brandon Holsworth.
Brandon, don't call me Brian.
Yep. And now I got some cigar news because we haven't done that in a while, and we're going to infuse the cigar news today. Shut up. With some of our shout-outs, because we have so many of them.
We have a billion of them.
Shout-outs from the contest, as well as shout-outs we just haven't done over the past couple weeks because
and
of the contest.
Followers on Twitter and stuff.
So, yeah, a lot of followers on Twitter. So first bit of news, I'm pretty excited about this.
I got excited. I thought this said Matthew Perry. No. That would have been awesome.
From Tampa, Florida, 6 U.S. senators, including Bill Nelson and Mark Rubio, are seeking an exemption from the new FDA rules to save the J.C. Newman Cigar Factory and
Ybor City. Yeah.
In the early 1900s, cigars put Tampa on the map, but only one factory remains, J.C. Newman. And as we all know what the FDA wants to do with that, they're trying to get all these regulations out there that are going to cost, you know, millions to the cigar industry. Senators want that exemption for Newman because its cigars are not mass-produced, and the company employs almost 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Newman's grandfather started the company and plans to fight. He says if the factory dies, so does a piece of Tampa.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
Not just a piece of Tampa, but so does a huge piece of American history.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
For sure.
You know, one factory, you would say it's not a big deal, but the Finks already shut down their factory, and they were the first or second oldest. And, I mean, pretty much what do we have left? We have Topper.
Mm-hmm.
We have J.C. Newman. We had the Finks. And, you know, right there, that's American history that goes back. Finks are five generations.
Yeah.
And Topper, I mean, That's family generations as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
And they were at the show, and I got a couple samples from them. Too.
And
solid dude.
And I lived in the Tampa area for a little over a year, and yeah, I mean that's Ybor City is on the map because of cigars.
Well,
period. That's
so
it.
There is a petition that you can go and sign to support J.C. Newman in this fight. It ends Friday.
So 15th.
Next Friday is
August 15th.
So go to www.savecitycigar.com and do your part. Try and save J.C. Newman's City Cigars.
Nice.
Definitely got to do that.
Shout-outs. All right. I'm going to run through them quickly. And we don't have cities, so we don't know where you're from. So if it's not you, but it's the same name, you can take credit for it. Adam Dodson, Adam Youngblood, A.J. McNair, Alex Grosp, Alan Mooch.
Can I do this?
You want to?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Start at Andrew Carson.
All right.
not in present company, but never forgotten. Andrew Carson, Anthony Tassin, and Bill Adams. We're also going to throw a shout out to Bill
You're doing great,
Tarpachok, Bill Williams, Bob Rosenthal,
Bill Williams,
and Brent Wong. Don't let ED slow you down, gentlemen. We love you. We're going to keep it going on with Bryant Etzcorn. Carrie, that's like a one name. It's like Cher.
It's like Elvis and Cher.
You're rocking it. We got Catfish Bakersfield. We're going to go out to Chris Bros. My beacon's on
time out, time out.
Chris Bros won.
Yeah, he won. He won.
And your shout-out's taken back, sir. You're trying to wheeze the juice, and no one appreciates that
shit.
Hang
on. Catfish Bakersfield might be the coolest name I've ever heard in my life. That name is awesome.
He's
awesome. Cigar Federation
guys. He probably plays, like, guitar.
He plays bass.
Songs,
yeah,
he
does play,
kinda
he does
like
play
that.
An instrument, yeah.
Something Train to Come in Blues.
Yeah.
I'm Catfish exactly. Bakersfield, and this is Train to Come in Blues.
I think he probably only just says, I'm Catfish. Here we go.
All right, Thou Shall Not Pass without saying Chris Jordan, Chris McCann, and Chris Paisano. As obvious as it is, I am going in alphabetical order, gentlemen. So you know your name's coming. Chris Robertson is in the house on this throwdown. Colin Drollshagen. Drollshagen. That's a badass name. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. We're going to go out to another single name. Connor, you know who you are. I'm looking at you right now. You're sitting at your mom's house. You're 30. You have no plans on moving out because I'm going to tell you, she makes a mean meatloaf and I wouldn't move out either.
Ma! Meatloaf!
C.R. Abernathy, Craig Hand, Dan Valdez, not here, but not forgotten. Cigar heroes, every one of them. We're also going to go out to Daniel Yenzer, Dan and Tucker, David Gill, and David Rummel, brothers of the leaf until the last leaf is smoked, and that will never happen. Friendship goes on forever. We're going to go out to David Yielding, Dennis Baez, Dennis Mathis, a man named Derek, a lone survivor on a mission to save the world. Derek needs no last name. Don Cosero, Ed Stevens, Eddie H., Eric Montgomery. Say their names with pride, gentlemen. Say their names. We're going to go out to, did I say Eric Montgomery?
Yes. Yes.
Double shout out to that man, because he's that badass.
I know, he is badass.
Garen Fry, Gary Cawthorn, Super Greg,
Greg,
last name, and Greg Kramer might be the same guy, different account. And if that's true, that's how I roll, because I'm here to fix every contest. Gregory Shushin, Big Harley, Isaac Miller, Jacob A. Krell Sr., not to be confused with the junior. We don't know if he smokes, but senior, you're a badass, and you need to pass on that lineage to your boy. You know what I'm talking about. We got Jana Richardson, Jared Griot, Jason Belden, Jason Myers, Jay Riniger, Jay Zaroda, and Super Jeff. As you can tell, if there's no last name, they become Super because they're that badass. Jeff Boda, Jeff Hershaw.
There he is.
In person. You know you're a badass when you're like, hey, they're going to read my name off. And I want to be there in person to make sure they see that shit.
It's the only reason why you came down here, really.
America.
See you later.
Yeah. Jeff Powell, Jesus Castillo.
Jesus nice. Castillo.
Badass. Representing over there, Luna. Put right. it up. If there's a secret handshake with the Mexican people, you need to show it to me. That way, you know, I feel like I'm cool, too.
You may have to mow my yard for a little bit before I show you.
Oh, shit. I'll do that. I'll do that. You got a big-ass backyard, though.
I know, man. Dude.
Super Jim. Jim R. Vonnier II. Now, that's a kick-ass name right there.
That's a long-time listener, too.
His lineage was kicked out of a certain country for being badass, and he came to America. That's what I'm talking about. Joe Leverage. Joey Jobis. Or Jobes, as the case may be. But in Texas, we'd call him Jobes.
We simply call him the Jobes.
The Jobes. Yeah. The Jobes is good.
Yeah.
John
he's
Yang.
Amish. He's Amish, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah. Or Big Yang,
that's
as we call him.
Amish.
John Yang.
Big Yang in the house. We got Johnny M. White Jr. Jr.? I'm not seeing senior on this page. And we need to either throw a salute out to your dad for being a great man, or we need to get him on here as well. We got...
Well played, sir.
Super Jose.
Super
yeah.
Jose.
Yeah. Okay, Joseph Miles Little Page. Okay.
Don't laugh at the last
one. I'm laughing at his delivery.
I didn't know what to do on that one. He caught me up.
I was waiting for you to say something clever, and you didn't.
Well played, Little Page. Well played. Josh Smith, Keith Applewhite, Keith Taylor, Ken Monty, Kevin Brooks. These are gentlemen I will roll with.
Cowboys used to have a player named Kevin Brooks. I wonder if that's him. That would be awesome.
Yeah, never know.
Kevin Segretti, Crook's Cigar Deck. Is that like a whole group of dudes?
Whole deck. Yeah, it's the whole deck, man.
Yeah, because you know you get these cigar groups of guys, and these are gentlemen that the conversations you want to sit in with, mm-hmm. right there. Kyle T. Murray, I hope you're having a good one. A little shout out to you, brother. We got Larry Guilano, Latmo, the Impaler. I dig that. Leland Lemero. That sounds very, very
French.
Cajun.
Very does, French.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I know some Rose out there. Thibodeau's and all those guys, all solid dudes.
Corn Rose.
Lena or Lena Adams, you're solid with me and this whole crew, and I'm appreciative that they let me say all you folks' names because you're all good people taking part in this stuff right now. Is this part of the AJ Fernandez?
No. This is okay. Separate deal.
It's the whole segment.
Carl's Jr. presents a shout out to Matt Rosenthal, Matthew Petty, Max Juarez, Michael Stewart, and Michael Ticelli. And Miguel Roca, solid dude right there as well. Every one of these are heroes, man.
We know Miguel.
If we could have carved these names into stone and had the time and the stone and the want to do that, all these names would be right there. We're going to move on to Super Mike, another badass with no last name. Mike Foreman, Mike Wendlin, and Big Mohammed. Morgan Gogan?
Gohagan?
Gohagan? Well, it's got the G, so usually the G would make the H. It would be,
Yeah, Gohagan.
Gohagan.
Yeah.
Gohagan. You know how I roll.
Gohagan and Gohagan.
We've all gone Hagan.
While I'm balls deep in a hog. Bam. Patrick Hufford, Paul, Philip S. Moses. I don't know what you're doing right now, but you better have a cigar in your hand or come into your house. We're going to go to Raj. Big Raj. Not a whole lot of Rajas on this list. We got Richard Brass, Richard Schnitzler. Kick-ass last name right there, because that's what I'd go by, Schnitzler.
The Schnitz.
The Schnitz is in the house because I'm the Schnitz. We got Roger Reed, Ron Steele, and Rory Golden. Bros of the Leaf right there. We're going to keep this list off and finish it up. Scotty Cognac, I missed you when you were in town, and I am sorry that I missed you, because these guys bragged about the good time they had with you, and I couldn't make it because I was in San Antonio on a family vacation. I'm not sorry I was on that vacation because it was totally kick-ass, but I'm sorry I missed you, man.
Scott and Jeff are our two legends.
Yep.
Scotty Wilson.
Is that Scott Wilson?
Christopher.
That would be awesome if that were really Scott Wilson.
Steve McHenry. Then we got Big Steve Wegner. We got Todd Jarabek. Tom Rounds and Tracy. Last name, anonymous. I'm going to say your name is now Tracy X, and that's how we're going to refer to you. So get me a pen after this. We got William J. Cardinal, hailing from someplace in America that's smoke-filled and badass. And last but not least, we're going to say Zane Gamble. I hope you're having a kick-ass day. Shout out to all these guys, superheroes, legends, men of action, men whose name is on this piece of paper. Good day, gentlemen.
Jeez.
Well, thank you all for entering the contest
and
supporting the show.
We have some more from Facebook and Twitter. We'll get to
that in the last third here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have some more cigar news, but we are going to take a break. We'll come back for the last third of the Tantrum PA. It's kicked up, fellas.
It's getting a little stronger.
A little stronger. Changed a little profile to it. Went a little leather on me.
It's gotten complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And major waftage.
Tasty stuff. We'll be back. All right, so we're back for the last third of the Ezra Zion Tantrum PA.
Nice.
I almost said that. Ezra Zion Tantrum PA.
That was very Shatner, Robbie. Very Shatner.
And we do have a little bit of extra news to cover here. And this one kind of near and dear to our hearts because we love the Lanceros. Mm-hmm. Alec Bradley, exclusive Lancero release. Alec Bradley has created the Nicapuro H-Town Lancero.
For Houston. Yeah,
that's four, probably.
That's exclusive. Stogies in Houston.
Yep. Yeah. Exclusive for Stogies.
Because Phil used to work at Stogies, actually.
Well, he was a manager there.
Yeah.
And have you gentlemen ever been to Stogies?
Yeah. The nicest cigar place I've ever been to.
Jorge and Jenny. Jorge's a straight-up godfather. Mm-hmm. When they redid it, I went to their grand opening party. And I have never seen as many beautiful women in a cigar shop. Those folks know how to throw a party.
Those folks,
I mean, Jorge and I have been friends for going on 3.5 years now. And you will never meet a better man.
Yeah, yep. It's good.
This industry is full of you will never meet a better man's.
But Jorge is a true godfather and a king in his castle.
Like me. Apparently he loves the Lancero, and there's a lot of Lanceros sold in his store because he knows about him and he tells people about him and they freaking listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second Lancero he's had exclusively made for his shop. The first one was the Room 101, Namakumbi, Ecuador. And he's going for 10. He's going to do 10 exclusive Lanceros.
You know what he carries? You know what he carries?
What?
He carries that Florida Los Antillas Lancero.
Oh,
that's the one made for Up and Smoke.
Anymore, yeah.
Well, he buys them from Up and Smoke.
Oh yeah.
When the Matt Booth H-Town came out, I'd already had 5 or 6 cigars that day.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at Stogie's and I'm smoking it. And at some point, once you've had enough, your stomach kind of goes sideways on you.
Yeah.
And the last place you want to be when a cigar kicks your ass is at a cigar shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me so square in the balls that I was laying on the couch praying for death. I wasn't praying for death, but every time I go in, now it's the running joke is, you want one of those Namakubi, you want the Matt Booth H-Town, or did you grow some pubes, or are you going to try that cigar again later?
Right. So 500 boxes of 20, priced at $7.95 a cigar. I'm definitely going to try and get some of those.
Yeah.
I like the Nicopuro, so yeah, I'd be curious to try that Lancero.
Yeah.
Demon document comment time is over. Let's hope that everybody that listens made comments. Only about 89,000 comments were made, and a crap ton of those were from people who vape. So boo, cigar smokers. You should have been on the point on that. Should have been making those comments. What the hell, guys?
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't screw us in the ass. We'll see. And this is a bit of good news that both Holdsworth and I were like, yeah! I think we even said, fuck yeah! The Guar Cigar. It is a Guar, the band Guar, is putting out a cigar. And while the details are still kind of turning up, it's for Cigar Nut. And it's going to be something that they're going to sell exclusively at their event. It's a three-pack box of it. And it's blended by Tatuaje, so I'm super psyched to get my hands on that. Yeah. I am a fan of Guar and a fan of Tatuaje.
Yep. So Jizmek the Gusher is the drummer.
Who the hell is Guar? Is that a band?
Yeah, it's a rock
super
band.
Super solid rock band, man.
Yep.
Hits like
heavy metal.
You'll never hear their stuff on the radio because it is definitely non-PC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they have songs like Black and Huge and Have You Seen Me, which is based off of child abduction through the eyes of the guy that's abducting them. I mean, their music is absolutely shocking. If you go way back, I think their first album was Hello. Everything on that was just like, where the hell did these guys come up with these ideas? And if this cigar is any representation of that band at all, it will be the craziest damn thing you ever smoke.
Well, if they're a band and they have their own cigar, I will now call myself a fan, even though I have no idea who the fuck they are. But I support Guar now. I will go download some song, or well, at least watch them on YouTube first.
Yeah, watch them is the best way because they're crazy ass. They got some crazy
and some great
going
musical
on.
Quality.
Yeah.
It's a band. Somebody sent messaged about a song. Damn it! Who the fuck was the band?
Don't know.
I can't remember. But anyway, and I'm not saying one way or another. It just shocked me because I wasn't expecting it. So I pulled up the band on YouTube and the song that this person recommended. And like 30 seconds into the video, these two dudes start kissing. I'm like, what? Wasn't expecting that. And it was this real heavy song and everything. And I was like thinking, I'm kind of rocking to it. It's cool. It's kind of a chant kind of thing. And I'm like kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, these two dudes start kissing. I'm like, was not expecting that.
You just got to look at it as art. He couldn't turn away. He was interested. He was really interested. He was really, really interested. Then he wasn't interested anymore.
Oh man! But anyway, God, I can't remember who that was. But anyway,
I can't remember either because I wasn't.
You didn't there? You weren't there? I don't know.
It's going out on me a little bit.
Yeah, mine's gone out a couple times, but
yeah, we got long winded.
We talk.
That is what happens. Yes.
Yeah, so it's definitely getting stronger in the final.
See any movies or television you want to talk about? Anybody like anything right now? I saw a couple movies.
You did? Okay. Mm-hmm. What'd you see?
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
How was that?
It was awesome. Awesome. Great time at the movies. He's not going to like it because it's special effects filled and stuff, but it is a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up blast.
With CGI,
super
it's
funny.
So much cheaper than going the route of like Legend where you're creating these little characters.
Yeah, but see, I appreciate that though.
I totally do. Yeah. But with an action film, you know, let's take Hoggle from, Labyrinth?
Yeah.
I mean, the technology's not there to create a raccoon that can do ninja kicks in the air whilst, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would much rather see their feet and see all the crazy stuff they're doing. I mean, CGI has its place in certain films, mm-hmm. not in horror.
I totally agree.
Oh, speaking of, I got something to tell. Go ahead.
Hit it, brother. Hit it.
Nate finally watched Splinter.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking loved it. He was like unbelievable. And I said, you know, the only CGI in that is when they took the spikes.
Yeah.
That's the only. He's like, no bullshit. The creature had to have been CGI. I'm like, nope. Not CGI at all. Yeah, it's actually, you got to see the making of it, because I don't want to tell you how he did it, because you've got to see the making. I'll get you the DVDs, so you can see it. It's incredible, the detail, the length he went to make this creature look and move the way it did without using CGI is awesome.
Another movie that starts with an S that I like a lot that actually has a pedigree with Guardians of the Galaxy is Slither. Mm-hmm. Saw Slither? So same guy that wrote and directed Slither, which is Nathan Fillion and the guy from...
It's Jenna Fisher's ex-husband. What's
James
his name?
Gunn.
James Gunn.
So he's the one that did Guardians of the Galaxy. So that was his first.
He also did Super.
He also did Super. So if you liked both, you know, Slither and Super,
mm-hmm.
probably going to like Guardians.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
It has kind of that same feel, screenplay-wise, very witty, mm-hmm. very funny.
Okay.
Not so much in the nerd, geeky comic stuff. It's just a
Did I say Jenna Fisher's ex-wife? I think I said Jenna Fisher's ex-wife. I meant ex-husband. If I did say wife, I meant husband, obviously. But,
if you have 6.5 minutes of your life you're willing to waste, you can also get on YouTube and check out Brandon Luna and I's latest creation called Cigar Strider.
Or you can see my short film, which is about 9 minutes long, called The Shade. Called The Shade, in which I am the star and a superhero.
And you can also look at the Jameson Cane promo for CZ Cigars.
Yes. Mine has full frontal nudity.
Well, there go all your views there. Jeez.
A lot of people ask me, was that real? Was that CGI? And I was like, no, that's all me, baby.
It was a piece of lunch meat tape like Joey did on Friends.
Super sausage.
It was a whole swinging Lebanese sausage.
He pulled the Mark Wahlberg from Boogie Nights thing is what he did.
Did he?
No nudity in
an elephant trunk.
The best version of that still to me is the Spinal Tap, cucumber wrapped
aluminum
in oil.
That's bitching, dude.
That's awesome.
So what was the other movie you saw?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
How was that?
It was fun. It was
Heroes in a Half Shell.
Yeah, it was Heroes in a Half Shell. They had a lot of the humor from the old stuff that you like, but the turtles weren't in it enough. I mean, that's the only complaint I have about it.
Did they play it like the 80s time or the way they originally started? Because they started off a lot darker than they became.
It's pretty dark, but the turtles aren't dark. The turtles are still teenagers and cowabunga and all that stuff, but the story has some dark tones to it.
Okay, because the turtles themselves were really dark when the comic book first came out.
When you take a classic like the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which had no CGI at all, it had an all-star cast of B and C list celebrities for the voices.
Yep.
And
an all-star cast of B and C.
You had Vanilla Ice, Go Ninja, rap. I mean, the campiness, it's kind of like if they tried to redo Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, they are doing that. They are making a big budget Toxic Avenger movie.
You know, they can't do it because of all the titties.
I know.
And all the drug use. I mean, if that movie came out now with the titties and the drug use, you know that people would be up in arms. Think about it. There was a Toxic Avenger cartoon in the 90s, which was the reason I watched that movie. And as soon as I started watching the movies with the titties and the drugs and the sex, I thought, it's like when they came out with the Rambo cartoon.
Yeah.
Who the hell takes an adult movie and turns it into a cartoon except for a total badass?
Yeah. Yeah. The Toxic Avenger... that was one of my faves as a kid. I couldn't stop watching that movie. It was so bad, but it was so fun at the same time. And I'm not really looking forward to the remake. Unless they go like the Piranha route, which I liked that remake.
That was awesome.
Then they could maybe make a good movie out of it.
The sequel to Piranha wasn't as good, but the first one was awesome. I mean, it starts with Richard Dreyfuss in a boat singing the song from Jaws.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
I don't want to get my man card removed here, but when it comes to remakes, I've seen very few that have done anything for me. And the only ones that I've ever seen that I thought competed with or excelled against the original would be like True Grit, because that was a badass movie.
That was
movie.
A great sequel.
Yeah, True Grit
or
was
great remake. Yeah.
I mean, can you guys name a remake that was as good or better?
Yes. My Bloody Valentine, I thought, was excellent. I thought that remake was very good.
Ocean's 11. I liked better than the original. I couldn't sit through the original Ocean's 11.
I like, except for that one song Sammy Davis sings. I like the original better because I love the ending. The ending is so ironic and so funny. Remember the ending?
Yeah.
Dude, it's the Rat Pack. Come on.
It's a bad movie.
Rat Pack is better than Clooney and Pitt.
When Gone in 60 Seconds came out with Nicolas Cage,
yeah.
I thought if this movie is even a tenth, because most people don't realize, there's an original Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah. And it's awesome.
And if you have a 45-minute car chase scene where half of a real town is destroyed with no talking, that means it's a man's movie.
Yeah. Bullet.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't remake these classics, man. Yeah. There's a reason. Don't rewrite
They were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, talking about redoing Cool Hand Luke, and I would have lost it. That would have pissed. And they were talking Brad Pitt as... No, God, no.
I would hope that he would say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, what you would hope. You know, I think you'd get more street... You'd get more credibility going, well, they asked me, but...
I'm not going to... How do you replace Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know? And who would play the sheriff?
Or the warden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't... Yeah.
Now, you know they are doing a new Road Warrior, but now it is a sequel... And it's going in line with the other ones. And I like the guy they got to play Max. I think he's a good actor.
Who is it?
He plays Bane. Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And it is still the same original writer and director. And it looks freaking...
Mel Gibson in it at all?
No.
Actually, I have seen some screenshots.
Yeah.
And they do keep it true to form.
It looks pretty damn awesome. They filmed it all in the desert and badass, you know, heat and just people dying on the set. It's awesome. So, yeah, I want to see it. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if people die on the set. They should. And you're making a mad
It's awesome.
Movie.
People died when they're on the set.
It adds to the legend.
You know,
Charlize Theron's in it, and she's in ugly mode. So
she's been in ugly mode in a lot.
She's kind of a weird. Am I allowed to say weird bitch?
Yeah. No, we cuss.
I mean, honestly, man, if I can't like an actor or an actress in their personal life, I don't care about your politics.
Yeah.
But if you're just a bitch for no sake, like trying to get someone kicked out of your gym because. They told someone that you were a bitch to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to support you.
I do the same thing. And sometimes it will be politics because not necessarily that I disagree or agree with them. Just shut up.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to lose my man card here because I'm going to reference Liberace. I respect Liberace because he died never admitting to being gay, ever.
Yeah.
He kept that. It wasn't anyone's business. That
Nobody's
was his
business.
It was the you know, and you know the rumors are Barry Manilow's the same way. It doesn't talk about it. It's not my thing. It's not your business. I don't talk about it.
Yeah, it shouldn't change the way you feel about my music or my movies.
Exactly.
Shout out to Elvis Presley because you said the celebration of his
death is next week
coming up. Mm-hmm. Elvis Presley during the Vietnam War, a news company went to him and said, "What are your thoughts on the Vietnam War?" And he said, "I'm an entertainer. I'm not a politician."
Mm-hmm.
So my opinion is that his opinion was, I'm an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to tell people how to think.
You know, he did nope, and that was the height of the protest song era.
Mm-hmm.
The closest he did to a protest song was In the Ghetto, which really isn't about politics, really. It's just about,
Yeah.
It's about a cold, lonely street in Chicago where another baby child is born
in the ghetto. That's the closest to a protest song. He just didn't...
He bought a gun and
stole a car. Tried to run, but he didn't get far. And his mama cried.
His mama did cry.
This episode will not be on iHeartRadio. It's going to get pulled for rights.
We're just quoting lines, and we're not even quoting them correctly. We're using them in conversation. As the snow flies.
No, okay, stop.
I nailed that song at karaoke, by the way.
It's just any other shout outs from Twitter or anything like that?
Gonna
wait till next week. It was such a long list this week.
Yeah,
we've got a lot.
I got a couple of famous people.
A lot of new Twitter people.
Dylan O'Brien from Teen Wolf is following me. I wasn't even following him. He's following me now.
That's a compliment, man.
That is cool.
That means you're putting stuff that's relevant.
I guess.
He cares about his fans.
I guess so.
He does watch Friends, though.
Yeah,
we love Friends.
I like Friends. I watch Friends.
Jeff, you like Friends?
Absolutely.
There you go. He said absolutely. Yeah, so you're the only.
Where the hell am I at?
You're insane. You're. You're watching Toxic Avenger instead of Friends and stuff.
Yes, I am. I'm Brandon Holsworth, and I approve that message.
Hey, Jeff, come in here.
Yeah, let's get Jeff on camera here.
Yeah, we need to get Jeff
on camera. Yeah.
There he is. There's the man.
The man, the myth, Jeff Hirschauer.
So there really is a Jeff Hirschauer. We didn't just make up that name to make it sound like we've got somebody who listens to the show.
Cincinnati, prove that.
Exactly.
Right. He is also Shane X and Lil Page.
Little Page. Not making fun of that name. I was making fun of the way he said it, and I was expecting him to say something. Anyway, but
so Jeff's been following us since probably episode 5, way back in the day. And
he wrote the second review on iTunes for us.
So big thanks, Jeff, for following the show.
Actually, the first person we didn't have to bribe to do a review. The other one was Pedro.
You know, Jeff, one of the things about this industry is the family that goes along with it. And, you know, when you have the FDA coming down on an industry that is so family-laden, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's, you know, even if this show was canceled, you know, that Jeff's going to be the guy that sends an email every once in a while going, hey, guys, you know, I hope all things are well, and hopefully one day we'll get the show back on the air. And, you know, you really, I hate to use the word fan or customer.
I do, too. Mm.
I like to use the term family.
Yeah.
And, Jeff, you're a family, part of the Calypso family. Both of these guys speak so highly. They told me, you have to come down here. We want you to meet this guy. He's been with us since the beginning. And when someone says that they're with you since the beginning, that means you're part of a family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're I
love what you guys do, and yeah, it's awesome.
Well, we appreciate it. It's anybody who comments or anything, we appreciate, even if it's a negative comment, because it means you listened. Mm-hmm. And that's important. We're doing this for people to listen to it, not for people to skip past it and move on.
The only thing that your show is missing is the occasional explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some titties.
We used
to.
And that's when we. That was when. That's when we used to get good viewership on YouTube.
Yeah,
when
we had titties,
our first like 8 shows were over 1,500 views, and the only one that's over 300, the two that are over 300 in the past 6 months were the first time we had Billy Pond on, and then the Circus of the Dead or the Frightmare Weekend.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that have done over 300 since.
Well, that's YouTube.
But I know it's just YouTube.
Looking for titties, so
And I iTunes is our big target anyway. Yeah. That's who. That's where 90% of our listeners come from. That's where Jeff came from. It's on iTunes.
So what's it like over in the B&Ms where you live at? I mean, is it?
Oh, it's nowhere near this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's smaller shops.
Higher tobacco tax.
Yes, very high tobacco tax. We actually have a grocery store down there. It's called Jungle Jim's.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a section, probably the size of this room, just cigars.
Wow. Really?
And that's, yeah, it's incredible.
You know what that says right there? It says that the tobacco taxes are so high that he can't find the cigars that he wants. So he's actually got his own license, and he's taken things into his hand to find the things that he wants.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's an American right there.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, he throws events, and he's actually there.
Can you smoke in cigar shops up there in Ohio?
No, there's very few. There's one. Like I said, the guy can't move. He's stuck there. He's grandfathered in.
Yeah.
And you can smoke in there at events. Jungle Jim's, you go outside. Mm. He has a covered patio, ceiling fans.
That's kind of Jungle Jim out there with slides in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
what was that?
It is a Jungle Jim out there with slides.
Take your first
that's
next
cool.
to the grill.
Oh, that's cool.
Slide.
That's nice.
Have
that.
You ever been to Ohio?
No, never.
I've just been to the airport, which is in Kentucky. So
Ohio's winters are so brutal that for you and I to go out on a patio in the winter to smoke a cigar would be an absolute waste of time.
Yeah.
Now, when these states have these tobacco laws, the taxes that are so high like this, and these laws that say you can't smoke indoors, this is more or less a move that cuts their own nose off because they find out that in the wintertime, their taxes dip so hard that most of these stores, like I took over Colorado for a little while, and their tax is 40%, and I went up, and the stores are telling me, you know, Brandon, it's nice to meet you. This is a great cigar, but we have to be so selective on what we bring in because a 40% tax, I mean, if you think about it, that's 40 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And especially...
So a $10 cigar is now a $14 cigar.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's horrible, and it just kills business. And I wish these states would actually look at the amount of money that they're making on this because I'm going to get one with it.
We had a customer come in about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, from Seattle, and they're 60% up in Washington.
Oh.
And I didn't know he's from Seattle or anything because I'd never seen the guy before. He goes in the humidor, he comes back out, and he goes, "Are your prices for real?" I'm like, "What does that mean?" Yeah, I go, "What do you mean?" Now he goes, "This cigar is $6." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "This is my favorite cigar. It's one of those Sublime signature house blends,"
yeah.
Which I was shocked that he even knew the fucking cigar to begin with. He said, "This cigar is $6." Well, yeah, because this is my favorite cigar. I spent $15 for it in Washington. Okay. Because, and the reason why it's my favorite cigar, it's the cheapest cigar in the store.
Oh, my gosh.
$15.
In Arkansas, they realized, they went from 30 stores to 5 or 6 mm-hmm. overnight with that tax. Mm-hmm. And $1.75 Villiger export mm-hmm. was $3.75. Because they were not only taxing...
We sell the 5-packs for $9.
Yeah.
You know?
Yikes.
Jeez. Well,
Arkansas is figuring it out, though. A lot of these states are figuring it out.
Who was it? Was it Maryland that dropped their tax a few years ago?
So did New York,
didn't Yeah, it? And New York did, too. New York capped it. Instead of it being a percentage, it's like you can't be more than a dollar or whatever, 50 cents per cigar.
I can't imagine, man. I hope
Texas is 1.5 cents. Yeah. Florida's none. No tax at all.
If people sign these petitions, this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, cigar smokers, I hate to say this, but there's a bunch of lazy cigar smokers. It takes 2 seconds or maybe 2 minutes to get online and post a comment that says, keep your damn dirty hands off my cigars. Yeah. And if we could get, you know, half the people that smoke cigars, that 80,000 mm-hmm. would be probably four times that number.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I say is, get off your ass. You're sitting there watching porn in the garage smoking a cigar anyway. So mm-hmm. go away from Brazzers for 2 minutes. Johnny Sims is a pimp, dude. You know that. Man has a side profile. I admire him.
Mommy's got boobs.
Huh?
Mommy's got boobs.
Hell,
that's
yeah,
a good one.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
They talk about that one on the ticket all the time. That's the reason I know about it. The only reason.
the only reason.
I'm into some weird shit.
You know, watch that music video I watched the other day.
Dudes make
it.
You know, if you look at it from an artistic point of view, I can see what they're saying. It's beautiful.
I agree. I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. I just said it was just, I just wasn't expecting
yeah,
that.
It was unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know what the fuck I was going to say.
That's
I have no
show
idea.
Right
that
there,
is. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you said you sit down on your patio and you smoke cigars. And you
I know what I was going to tell you. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So how is that? I mean, is there a lot of people that do that there? I mean, is that, you just smoke on the patio? You smoke in your car?
No, I travel a lot. I smoke in the car. When I'm home,
yeah,
I take my laptop outside, sit there, light a cigar, have a bourbon,
yeah,
relax.
Yep.
Throw on your guys' podcast.
Jeff's
world.
In the winter, does the garage become the man cave with the heater in it?
Yes, it does.
Same
yeah.
here.
Now, I had, my aunt lived in Findlay for a while.
Okay, yeah.
And one of our favorite customers, John Lytle, is from, I think, the coolest name of a city ever, and it fits his personality, too. He's from Defiance, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't John seem like the kind of guy who would be from a town called Defiance?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's so anti-everything. But I don't know where Findlay or Defiance is. I think Defiance is closer to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And
Findlay's up towards Toledo.
Is it? Okay. All right. Cool. That's my Ohio story. Very interesting, wasn't it?
So last third, Tantrum PA, what do you guys think?
Kyle was right. It picks up at the end. The
yeah.
retrohale has some pain. Severe intensity.
Yeah. I've stopped retrohaling because it was burning me.
My nose is still...
Yeah.
Something to try is a slower retrohale. Take a bigger drag, you know, because with the retrohale, you're not having anything go into your lungs.
Yeah.
And that's the point, as we all know, behind cigars. I had a good friend of mine named Nate McIntyre. At the show, he told me that I was, you know, taking to get the full effect and the flavor, because remember, 90% of your taste buds are in your nose. You need to have a slower retrohale so that your nose has the time. And it takes practice. It really does. Mm-hmm. And so does the retrohale. I'll tell you, the first couple times I did it, it hurt me.
I don't even like to do it, but I do it.
I like it.
I do it just for the show.
No, very few.
Do you take any of the smoke in your nose?
Very little.
Dude, Nate was doing this the other day, holding it up and inhaling He closed off a nostril and was doing it that way. I'm like, what
this
are you
the guy
doing?
With the cold retro, right?
Yeah,
cold
retro.
Yeah, we should do a special on him called What Not to Do with This. Hi, I'm Nate, and I'm going to show you the stuff you
this
shouldn't
is funny.
Do.
He sent. He comes in the other day. His dad lives in Caddo Mills, which is right next to a city called Greenville. And neither one of them are big cities, but Greenville's bigger than Caddo Mills.
Good people.
And he comes in and he's all bragging. He's like, found this place, you can get an Underground Corona $2 cheaper than what Matt's selling it for. I'm like, well, get them there then, you know?
Yeah.
So later that night, without fail, he sends me a text of his Underground that he bought, and it's falling apart. And you can tell he had just lit it. So I just texted me back and said, well, you get what you pay for.
Probably like a gas station or something.
It says it's a cigar shop. I don't know if you know many shops in Greenville, but they need to take better care of their cigars. This thing looked like it had mold and was falling apart.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
When I was retail, I did the outside sales for a store here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I would go into stores and, like convenience stores, they'll take the hygrometer and they'll just put it to 70.
Oh, wow.
They'll fix it so it looks like they're keeping track.
Right.
And, you know, for me, you know, let's be honest. If you need, if you're out with the guys and you just need a few cigars to celebrate, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, you know, support your brick and mortar because, you know, like Randy and Matt here at Club Calypso, they know how to treat their stuff. If you walk in, it's perfectly humidified. I've walked in and heard Matt going absolutely ape over the fact that it wasn't exactly where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And a lot of these store owners, they treat these products like what they are. They are works of art that should be protected by the United States Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Especially like this time of year, because we got a major Fuente order come in the other day. And the box was hot. I mean, the box, the cardboard box that came in was hot. Yeah. And I pull out the cigars, and there, I got a text message. Anyway, so the cigar boxes were hot. And, you know, so Matt comes in, and I got off, and he was like, you didn't put those away? And I said, feel them. He's like, oh, yeah. I mean, so we leave them out overnight before we even introduce them to the humidor, because you don't want to stick hot cigars into a nice 70-degree humidor.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to shock the cigar, you know, let it acclimate and then put it in the humidor. But people don't do that. I've been in other stores where the order comes in and they start putting it on the shelves and it's like,
yeah.
One of the things that I've learned over the last, 4 years of being in this industry is that a lot of people think, just throw them in your freezer. And, you know, while that does kill any of the bugs that might have come in a, you know, ill-produced cigar or whatnot, when you freeze your cigars, that moisture causes expansion. So yes, it'll kill the bugs, but there's also a chance that you are absolutely weakening the wrapper leaf as well.
And it takes, and if you are going to freeze them, you have to give them a lot of time to acclimate before you're going to smoke them again, because you're just gonna,
and you probably you put them in the fridge, you put them in the fridge first,
and
then
the fridge,
then you put them in the fridge,
then put them in the freezer, and then same thing, when you take them out, you put them in the fridge, let them acclimate a little more. Take them out, set them out, let them get room temp. Then you introduce them back in your regular stash. But I even have a separate, I do freeze, but I have a separate spot where I put my frozen stuff that came out, and it acclimates there for a good couple weeks before I even introduce it in the rest of the stuff.
Was that you that was having humidor issues? And you
yes.
Were asking, how did it
perfect.
Work now? Good.
Follow your instructions with that. Haven't had a problem since.
We're going to pat ourselves on the back. We season humidors better than any shop I've ever seen. We take, it's a process that I've seen several YouTube videos, and those, you just want to roll your eyes. It's like, that's not going to season the humidor. And you know, we've fixed so many people that come in, our humidor, my humidor doesn't work.
Oh, I love it when they say, I need a new humidor because my last one's broken. Okay.
Did you throw it on the floor? Or what happened there?
Yeah. Actually, we had a lady come in with a nice one. It looked really good. And she's like, you know, we season it. And, you know, we charge like $18 to season a humidor. If you don't buy it, if you buy it here, we season it for free. And she comes in, and I said, I don't know if this is going to work, because this thing had no seal on it at all. And I said, maybe if we put, you know, we season it, it'll tighten up. And I said, but I'm not going to charge you yet. And sure enough, a couple days, Matt was looking at it. And he goes, it's not. He says, just call her and tell her, you know, don't charge her for anything, you know. But if we can't fix it, we won't fix it. You know, we'll let you know. But
how many other industries are there that you take your car into anywhere, and if they don't find anything wrong with it, they still charge you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many industries that will actually, I mean, the time that you take when you walk into the humidor, Randy, I mean, you're actually trying to make someone happy and put them, I mean, I've seen Matt do it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt gets deep on people. Yeah. Some of these guys don't have a clue, and they look at Matt glass-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, people look and see what true tobacconists do, and putting you with the right product instead of saying, here's a, this one's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of my fellow reps that I've seen it. What do you smoke? This cigar's for you. And then next guy I'll come up and say the complete different thing, and they'll go, this cigar's for you. But a true tobacconist that wants your friendship and a relationship over the next several years, That's what this is all about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's finding the right product. For the
you
right
know, and I, we had a guy come in, and this happens all the time, but just the other day, some guy comes in. He goes, "What's a good cigar?"
I said,
"What's your favorite vegetable?" Or, "What's a good vegetable?" And he looked at me like, "What?" I go, "What I think is a good vegetable, you might not think is a good vegetable." I said, "I don't know what a good cigar is for you until we talk more about it." I said, "But, you know, a good cigar is the cigar you like." And we've said that numerous times on the show. That's a good cigar. If you like it, it's a good cigar.
Back on the FDA thing, not saying from my own personal experience.
Wink, wink.
But they're saying that flavored cigars appeal to children. So I went out to the liquor store the other night, and they have marshmallow s'mores-flavored vodkas.
Yeah.
And then when you get into, like, I'm not going to use the term oral sex gels.
Yeah.
They have cherry, cookie dough.
Yeah, Kama Sutra oil has flavors and stuff,
so,
you know?
I mean, I've never heard a kid say they wanted, you know, a flavored cigar or a flavored... Because let's be honest, I mean, how many kids have looked at a margarita or a strawberry daiquiri and said, "That looks like a big Slurpee, I want that." You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you found your kid putting, you know, a finger full of cookie dough on his finger and sucking on that, you know, it's you as a parent to get that oral sex gel away from your kid so they can't find it.
Jeez. And on that note, we're going to close out the show. Mm-hmm. We went a little long today, but we had a lot to say.
Yeah, we had Jeff here, too.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, as always, listen to us at all the places you can find us.
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podcast Land still. iHeartRadio, did I say that?
YouTube,
Twitter. We're everywhere. We have our, and go to our Facebook page and like us. We have two. There's one for the store, and there's one for the show, Calypso Cigar Review, and like us there. And follow us at Twitter. I'm at RandyRankin43.
Captain Funky Pants.
And I am Ezra Zion Brandon.
There you go. You have a Twitter?
At Jeff Hershauer.
At Jeff Hershauer. There you go.
Boom.
Right there. All right.
So as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandons and Jeff.